हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वेयङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावहेगमष्टमादिद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So continuing with the Adi Parva, right? So in the now it's describing the second parva, the summary of the second parva. The second is the extensive parva called Shabha, or the assembly, full of matter. The subject of this parva are the establishment of the grand hall by the Pandavas, their review of their retainers, the description of the Lokapalas by Narada, well acquainted with the celestial regions, the preparations for the Rajasuya sacrifice, the destruction of Jarasandha, the deliverance by Vasudeva of the princes confined in the mountain pass, the campaign of universal conquest by the Pandavas, the arrival of the princes at the Rajasuya sacrifice with tribute, the destruction of Shishupal on the occasion of the sacrifice, in connection with offering of Argya, Bhimsena's ridicule of Duryodhana in the assembly, Duryodhana's sorrow and envy at the sight of the magnificent scale on which the arrangements had been made, the indignation of Duryodhana in consequence, and the preparations for the game of dice, the defeat of Yudhishthira at play by the wily Shakuni, the deliverance by Dhritarashtra of his afflicted daughter-in-law, Draupadi plunged in the sea of distress caused by the gambling, as a boat tossed about by the tempestuous waves, the endeavors of Duryodhana to engage Yudhishthira again in the game, and the exile of the defeated Yudhishthira with his brothers. These constitute what has been called by the great Vyas the Shabha Parva. This parva is divided into 78 sections. O best of Brahmanas, of 2,507 shlokas. Then comes the third parva, called Aranyaka, relating to the forest. This parva treats of the wending of the Pandavas to the forest and the citizens following the wise Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira's adoration of the god of day, according to the injunctions of Domya, to be gifted with the power of maintaining the dependent Brahmas with food and drink. That means god of the day means the sun. He worshipped the sun and got that special plate because all these Brahmins wouldn't leave. So they said, don't worry, we'll take care of ourselves. But as the king, he can't allow that. So he did austerities for 3 days and got this special tali that as long as there's food, I mean, as long as Draupadi has not eaten, then the whatever's on the tali, you can unlimitedly serve, right? So you don't have to carry around big buckets to serve thousands of Brahmins. You just need this one little plate, and how much you want to give from the plate, you can give, you know? Not bad, huh? Right? Afterwards, you only have to wash one plate. Cool, right? The creation of food through the grace of the sun. So also he created that there would be. You know, she just has to cook a little bit, you know, and put it on the plate. And then after that, you can unlimitedly take from that plate. The expulsion by Dhritarashtra of Vidura, who always spoke for his master's good. Vidura is coming to the Pandavas and is returned to Dhritarashtra at the solicitation of the latter. In other words, he's kicked out and then called back. The wicked Duryodhana's plottings to destroy the forest-raging Pandavas, being incited thereto by Karna. the appearance of Vyas and his dissuasion of Duryodhana bent on going to the forest, the history of Surabhi, the arrival of Maitreya, his laying down to Dhritarashtra, the course of action, and his curse on Duryodhana, means Duryodhana was also then cursed by Maitreya, that he would be killed by his thigh being broken. So it wasn't just Bhima's declaration that he would do it. Maitreya also cursed him that he would be, because he would laugh. And means low-class person, when they laugh, they slap their thighs. You might do it amongst close friends, intimate friends, but you never do it in a formal occasion. That's considered very villagey, right? So he did that to Maitreya. So Maitreya got upset and said his thigh would be broken. Bhima's slaying of Kirimira in battle, the coming of the Panchalas and the princes of the Vrishni race to Yudhishthira on hearing of his defeat at the unfair gambling by Shakuni, Dhananjaya's allaying the wrath of Krishna, Draupadi's lamentations before Madhava, Krishna cheering her, the fall of Suva also has been described by the Rishi. Also, Krishna is bringing Subhadra with her son to Dwarka. Means Subhadra and Abhimanyu then lived at Dwarka during the exile. They didn't stay out in the forest. And Drishtadyumna is bringing the son of Draupadi to Panchala. The entrance of the sons of Pandu into the romantic Advaita wood. Conversation of Bhima, Yudhishthira, and Draupadi. The coming of Vyas to the Pandavas and his endowing Yudhishthira with the power of Pratismriti. Then, after the departure of Vyas, the removal of the Pandavas to the forest of Kamyaka. The warnings of Arjuna of immeasurable prowess in search of weapons. His battle with Mahadeva in the guise of a hunter. His meeting with the Lokapalas and receipt of weapons from them. His journey to the region of Indra for arms and the consequent anxiety of Dhritarashtra. The wailings and lamentations of Yudhishthira on the occasion of his meeting with the worshipable great sage Brihadashva. Here occurs the holy and highly pathetic story of Nala, illustrating the patience of Damayanti and the character of Nala. I mean, he was in anxiety over that they had lost everything and how everything had been disturbed. So then he told the story of Nala, which is also fitting, because Nala lost everything also from a gambling match. Right? Therefore, in Manusamhita, it mentions that the wise man does not gamble, because great persons like Nala and Yudhishthira have lost everything, and they're good guys. Right? So let alone the not-so-good guys. Then the acquirement by Yudhishthira of the mysteries of dice from the same great sage. Then the arrival of the Rishi Lomasha from the heavens to where the Pandavas were, and the receipt by these high-souled dwellers in the woods of the intelligence brought by the Rishi of their brother Arjuna staying in the heavens. Then the pilgrimage of the Pandavas to various sacred spots in accordance with the message of Arjuna, and their attainment of great merit and virtue consequent on such pilgrimage. Means Arjuna was in the heavenly planets, he's getting weapons, so he wanted Yudhishthira and his brothers to go to the holy places to purify themselves and get more merit. That way then their chances of winning the war would be greater. So they went with Lomasa and went all around the whole earth, yes.
What was the
Pratismriti? Pratismriti, I think that's the ability to see into things. You understand what things are in reality. Yes. That's there, but at the same time, as he wasn't challenged by Duryodhana. The only reason he went was that he was challenged, but because Dhritarashtra had invited him. If Dhritarashtra hadn't invited, Yudhishthira wouldn't have gone, because means it's a challenge, but the challenge has to also be appropriate. Like if a kshatriya is challenged by some low-class man, he doesn't have to take heed of it. You know? If the character's not proper, in other words, relationship is amongst equals. right? You can have someone who's a little bit more senior equal, a junior equal, but they're equals. Like you have a businessman and another businessman. So someone may be a bigger businessman, someone a lesser businessman, but they're businessmen. So therefore, they would have the natural relationship. They can, you know, work together, do things together, but the businessman and the Shudra, the relationship would be different. Or the businessman and the Kshatriya, it would be different. Mm-hmm. So if someone's not acting actually as the Kshatriya, then it's improper. So there's no need to take advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, there's intelligent means whatever the Vedic injunctions also require intelligence. They're general things to maintain the proper standards and relationships, but since ultimately relationship is the purpose, that there's no need to have relationship with someone who's unqualified. Like that. Does that make sense? So his motives are wrong. It's not like a religious thing. You know? So therefore there's no need. You know? And the whole thing was wrong. Also then even though he had come, as soon as he found that Duryodhana was not going to throw the dice, then it's like Duryodhana is throwing dice, he throws dice. It works. But he has a professional gambler throwing the dice. So then, you know, that would be like, okay, you and I have a problem. So let's step outside, okay? So we step outside. When you get outside, you know, I have, you know, somebody from the Green Beret there and say, well, he's going to fight on my behalf against you. You don't have to agree. You know what I'm saying? It's not fair. So it's just not necessary. Then even they were gambling when they came to the point about his wife, there's no need. Because that doesn't happen, as pointed out by Draupadi. Even the pimps, they don't gamble away their women. You know, the people who keep the prostitutes and that, they don't gamble away their women. You know, even they protect their prostitutes. So it's just not done. No one ever does it. So it's not even something that could be brought up. But Shakuni is doing this not because he dislikes the Pandavas. He just wants to see that Duryodhana is destroyed absolutely. That's all. That's his purpose. So the best way to have an individual and their whole dynasty destroyed is to insult a chaste woman. That's guaranteed. Anything else, you have a war, it's not guaranteed. You could go into battle, you may win, you may lose, even though you're the superior fighter. Politics may work, may not, but you insult a chaste woman, it's guaranteed you and your destroying dynasty are history. Even innocent people in your dynasty, they're all gone. That's it. Finished. It's that simple. Therefore, it's seen that, you know, if it does happen, then everybody else in the family would be doing some serious arrangements to apologize and correct the situation, even if the individual who performed it doesn't see they're wrong, because even though he did, they could say, well, he did it, we didn't, but that's okay, you're going to be destroyed along with them. That's all. That's just the way it is. It's just insulting chaste women is not tolerated in society like that. And it doesn't matter if you are, what do you call it? If you believe in the Vedic culture or not, that's just the way the universe is arranged. You know, fortunately, in most countries nowadays, you don't necessarily have chaste women, so it's not a big problem, right? But if you do, it's a problem. So in the same way is the Pandavas are protected because of that chaste wife, right? So it goes both ways. Yes.
Are the Pandavas in the same dynasty as the Kauravas?
Are the Pandavas in the same dynasty as the Kauravas? As Kurus, yes, but they're Pandavas, and these are I forget how you say it. How do you say it?
Dhartarashtras.
So they're slightly different. So it's the Dhartarashtras have insulted in here. Otherwise, you know, you would insult your own within your own family. So it's slightly that much. So it didn't destroy all the Kurus. It just destroyed all the sons of Dhritarashtra. Okay. Yes. No. He's scratching your head. question. Okay. Then the pilgrimage of the great sage Narada to the shrine Putastha also the pilgrimage of the high soul Pandavas. Here is the deprivation of Karna of his earrings by Indra. Here also is recited the sacrificial magnificence of Gaia. Then the story of Agastya, in which the Rishi ate up the Asura Vatapi, and in this and his connubial connection with Loma Mudra from the desire of offspring. Then the story of Rishi Shringa, who adopted Brahmacharya mode of life from his very boyhood. Then the history of Rama of great prowess, the son of Janmadagni, in which has been narrated the death of Kartavirya and the Haihayas. Then the meeting between the Pandavas and the Vrishnis in the sacred spot called Prabhasha. Then the story of Sukanya, in which Chavana, the son of Bhrigu, made the twins Ashwini drink at the sacrifice of King Sarayati, the Somajus of which they had been excluded by the other demigods, and in which, besides, it is now shown how Chavana himself acquired perpetual youth as a boon from the grateful Ashwinis. Means here the Ashwinis are demigods, so they had the right to drink the soma like all the other demigods. But one day they were describing in in detail beyond appropriateness about the nature of women. And then I think it's Parvati and company. Then they cursed them that they would not be able to, they would be excluded from the sacrifices to drink the soma. So here then Chavana, then he got that back for them. In other words, be very careful what you say about women in front of women, right? Like that. Yes.
So Chavana made the Chavana brush from this time also. He got that.
Oh.
That's how he actually became youthful.
Oh,
so he made the Chavana
brush. Chavana brush, yes. So if you're into youthfulness, check out Chavana brush. Okay. Like that. Then. Yeah. It's interesting is that it's actually the story of Sukanya. In it, then all this happens. But it's a story about her chastity, because she's also one of the great chaste women of the universe. Like that. That she married this older blind man, and then because of his power, he made himself young again. And then when the father came, then he saw her with this young man and thought that she had kicked out the old guy and, you know, taken on this young man. But, you know, then she explained that, no, this is her husband, you know. So because of her chastity, therefore her husband went to this much trouble to try to please her. Then hath been described the history of King Mandata. Then the history of Prince Jantu, and how King Somaka, by offering up his only son, Jantu, in sacrifice, obtained 100 others. Then the excellent history of the hawk and the pigeon. Then the examination of King Sivi by Indra, Agni, and Dharma. Then the story of Astavakra, in which occurs the disputation at the sacrifice of Janaka, between that rishi and the first of logicians, Vandi, the son of Varuna, the defeat of Vandi by the great Astavakra, and the release of the rishis of his father, and the release by the rishi of his father from the depths of the ocean. Then the story of Yavakrita, and then that of great Raivya. Then the departure of the Pandavas for Gandamandana, and their abode in the asylum called Narayana. Then Bhimasena's journey to Gandamandana at the request of Draupadi in search of the sweet-scented flower. Bhima's meeting on his way in a grove of bananas with Hanuman, appropriate place. The son of Pavana of great prowess. Bhima's bath in the tank and the destruction of the flowers therein for obtaining the sweet-scented flower he was in search of, right? So in ecstasy he destroys all the flowers, though that's what he went to get, right? His consequent battle with the mighty Rakshasas and the Yakshas of great prowess, including Hanuman, the destruction of the Asura Jata by Bhima, the meeting of the Pandavas with the royal sage Vrishaparva, their departure for the asylum of Arishtanami, and abode therein, the incitement of Bhima to acts of vengeance by Draupadi. Then is narrated the ascent on the hills of Kailash by Bhimsen, his terrific battle with the mighty Yaksha headed by Hanuman. Then the meeting of the Pandavas with Vaishravana, Kuvera, and the meeting with Arjuna after he obtained for the purpose of Yudhishthir many celestial weapons. Right? See, he obtained it for Yudhishthir, not for himself. Right? Then Arjuna's terrible encounter with the Nivatakavachas dwelling in Hiranyaparva, and also with the Palomas and the Kalakeyas, the destruction at the hands of Arjuna, the commencement of the display of the celestial weapons by Arjuna before Yudhishthira, the prevention of the same by Narada, the descent of the Pandavas from Gandhamandana, the seizure of Bhima in the forest by a mighty serpent huge as the mountain, his release from the coils of the snake upon Yudhishthira's answering certain questions. Now, that was Nahusha in the form of the snake. The return of the Pandavas to the Kamyaka forest. Here is described the reappearance of Vasudeva to see the mighty sons of Pandu, the arrival of Markandeya, the various recitals, the history of Prita, the son of Vena, recited by the great Rishi, the stories of Saraswati and the Rishi Tarkya. After these is the story of Matsya, other old stories recited by Markandeya, right? Then there's a call, and other old stories. Okay. The stories of Indudumna and Dundumara, then the history of the chaste wife, the story of Angira, the meeting and conversation of Draupadi and Satyabhama, the return of the Pandavas to the forest of Dwaita, and the procession to see the calves and captivity of Duryodhana, and when the wretch was being carried off, his rescue by Arjuna. Here is Yudhishthira's dream of the deer. Then the re-entry of the Pandavas into the Kamyaka forest. Here also is the long story of Rihadaunika. Here is also recited the story of Durvasa. Then the abduction by Jayadratha of Draupadi from the asylum. The pursuit of the ravisher by Bhima, swift as the air. And the ill shaving of Jayadratha's crown at Bhima's hand. Because right? If you partially shave here and there, that's considered a bit insulting. Right? Here is the long story of Rama, in which is shown how Rama, by his prowess, slew Ravana in battle. Here it also is narrated the story of Savitri, then Karna's deprivation by Indra of his earrings, then the presentation to Karna by the gratified Indra of a Shakti missile weapon, which had the virtue of killing only one person against whom it might be hurled. Then the story called Aranya, in which Dharma, the god of justice, gave advice to his son Yudhishthira, in which, besides is recited how the Pandavas, after having obtained a boon, went towards the west. These are all included in the third parva called Aranyaka, consisting of 269 sections. The number of shlokas is 11,664. So this one's even bigger than the first. Yeah, it's very big itself. Yeah, 11,000 so much. It's like the size of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The extensive parva that comes next is Virat. The Pandavas arriving at the dominions of Virat saw in a cemetery on the outskirts of the city a large shami tree, whereon they kept their weapons. Here hath been recited their entry into the city, and their stay there in disguise. Then the slaying of by Bhima of the wicked Kichika, who, senseless with lust, had sought Draupadi. The appointment by Prince Duryodhana of clever spies, and their dispatch to all sides for tracing the Pandavas. The failure of these to discover the mighty sons of Pandu. The first seizure of Virata's kind by the Trigartas, and the terrific battle that ensued. The capture of Virat by the enemy, and his rescue by Bhimsena. The release also of the kind by the Pandava, Bhima. The seizure of Virat's kind again by the Kurus.
Because the when you have a city, then depending upon the size of the city, there's a certain amount of land that must be left outside of the city. So the bigger the city, the more the land that has to be left. And that's for the cows to graze. Like that. So the city wasn't divorced from agriculture. It just didn't happen within the city compound, but it happened outside the city. While in the village, it's more mixed. The defeat and battle of all the Kurus by the single-handed Arjuna, the release of the king's kind, the bestowal by Virat of his daughter Uttara for Arjuna's acceptance on behalf of his son by Subhadra, Abhimanyu, the destroyer of foes. These are the contents of the extensive fourth parva, the Virat. The great Rishi Vyas has composed in these 67 sections. The number of slokas is 2,050. Listen to the contents of the fifth parva, which must be known as Udyoga. While the Pandavas, desirous of victory, were residing in the place called Upaplavya, Duryodhana and Arjuna both went at the same time to Vasudeva and said, "You should render us assistance in this war." The high-souled Krishna, upon these words being recited, replied, "O ye first of men, a counselor in myself who will not fight, and one Akshahini of troops, which of these shall I give to which of you?" Blind to his own interest, the foolish Duryodhana asked for the troops, while Arjuna solicited Krishna as an unfighting counselor. Then is described how, when the king of Madra was coming for the assistance of the Pandavas, Duryodhana, having deceived him on the way by presents and hospitality, induced him to grant a boon, and then solicited his assistance in battle. Haushalya, having passed his word to Duryodhana, went to the Pandavas and consoled them by reciting the history of Indra's victory over Vritra. Then comes the dispatch by the Pandavas of their Purohit priest to the Kauravas. Then is described how King Dhritarashtra, of great prowess, having heard the word of the Purohit of the Pandavas and the history and the story of Indra's victory, decided upon sending his Purohit and ultimately dispatched Sanjaya as envoy to the Pandavas from desire for peace. Here hath been described the sleeplessness of Dhritarashtra from anxiety upon hearing all about the Pandavas and their friends, Vasudev and others. It was on this occasion that Vidura addressed to the wise king Dhritarashtra various counsels that were full of wisdom. It was here also that Sanat Sujata recited to the anxious and sorrowing monarch the excellent truths of spiritual philosophy. And the next morning Sanjaya spoke in the court of the king of the identity of Vasudeva and Arjuna. It was then that the illustrious Krishna, moved by kindness and a desire for peace, went himself to the court of the capital, Hastinapur, for bringing about peace. Then comes the rejection by Prince Duryodhana of the embassy of Krishna, who had come in to solicit peace for the benefit of both parties. Here hath been recited the story of Dambodvava, then the story of the high-souled Matuli's search for a husband for his daughter, then the history of the great sage Galava, then the story of the training and discipline of the son of Bidula, then the exhibition by Krishna before the assembled Raja of his yoga powers upon learning the evil counsels of Duryodhana and Karna. Then Krishna is taking Karna in his chariot and his tendering to him of advice, and Karna's rejection of the same from pride. Then the return of Krishna, the chastiser of enemies, from Hastinapura to Upaplavya, and his narration to the Pandavas of all that had happened. It was then that those oppressors of foes, the Pandavas, having heard all and consulted properly with each other, made every preparation for war. Then comes the march from Hastinapura for battle, of foot soldiers, horses, charioteers, and elephants. Then the tale of the troops by both parties. Then the dispatch by Prince Duryodhana of Uluka as envoy to the Pandavas on the day previous to the battle. Then the tale of charioteers of different classes. Then the story of Amba. These all have been described in the fifth parva called Udyoga of Bharata, abounding with incidents appertaining to war and peace.
O ye ascetics, the great Vyas hath composed 186 sections in this parva. The number of shlokas also composed in this by the great sage Rishi is 6,698. Then is recited the Bhishma Parva, replete with wonderful incidents. In this hath been narrated by Sanjaya the formation of the region known as Jambu. Here hath been described the great depression of Yudhishthira's army, and also a fierce fight for 10 successive days. In this, the high-souled Vasudeva, by reason based on the philosophy of final release, drove away Arjuna's compunctions springing from the latter's regard for his kindred, though he was on the whom he was on the eve of slaying. Okay. In this, the magnanimous Krishna, attentive to the welfare of Yudhishthira, seeing the loss afflicted on the Pandava army, descended swiftly from his chariot himself and ran with dauntless breast, his driving whip in hand, to effect the death of Bhishma. In this, Krishna also smote with piercing words Arjuna, the bearer of the Gandiva and the foremost in battle amongst all wielders of weapons. In this, the foremost of bowmen, Arjuna, placing Sikandi before him and piercing Bhishma with his sharpest arrows, felled him from his chariot. In this, Bhishma lay stretched on the bed of arrows. This extensive parva is known as the sixth in the Bharata. In this have been composed 117 sections. The number of shlokas is 5,884, as told by Vyas, conversant with the Vedas. Then is recited the wonderful parva called Drona, full of incidents. First comes the installation in the command of the army of the great instructor in arms, Drona. Then the vow made by the great master of weapons by seizing the wise Yudhishthira in battle to please Duryodhana. Then the retreat of Arjuna from the field before the Samsaptikas. Then the overthrow of Bhagadatta, like to a second Indra in the field, with the elephant Supritika by Arjuna. Then the death of the hero Abhimanyu in his teens, alone and unsupported, and at the hands of many Maharatas, including Jayadratha. Then, after the death of Abhimanyu, the destruction by Arjuna in battle of 7 Aukshahinis of troops, and then of Jayadratha. Then the entry by Bhima of mighty arms, and that foremost of warrior in chariot, Satyaki, into the Kaurava ranks, impenetrable even to the gods, in search of Arjuna in obedience to the orders of Yudhishthira, and the destruction of the remnant of the Samsaptikas. In the Drona Parva is the death of Alambusha, of Shutayush, of Jalasandha, of Somadatta, of Virat, the great warrior in chariot, Drupad, of Katotgach, and others. In this Parva, Ashwataman, excited beyond measure at the fall of his father in battle, discharged the terrible weapon, Narayana. Then the glory of Rudra in connection with the burning of the three cities. Then the arrival of Vyas and recital by him of the glory of Krishna and Arjuna. This is the great seventh parva of the Bharata, in which all the heroic chiefs and princes mentioned were sent to their account. The number of sections in this is 170. The number of shlokas as composed in the Drona Parva by Rishi Vyas, the son of Parasara and the possessor of true knowledge, after much meditation, is 8,909. Then comes the most wonderful parva called Karna, and this is narrated the appointment of the wise king of Madra as Karna's charioteer, that's Shalya. Then the history of the fall of the Asura Tripura. Then the application to each other by Karna and Shalya of harsh words on their setting out for the field. Then, because Shalya, he knew how to drive the chariot, so he knew what was the best way to set himself up. And Karna, he thought he was better. But so, and being the chariot means, how you saying, being the warrior, then it's technically his right to instruct the charioteer. But Shalya said he would drive the chariot as long as Karna kept his mouth shut. Because he didn't consider Karna even a Kshatriya. Like that. So it was a big thing for Shalya to drive the chariot. So here then they you know, naturally Karna can't control his anger and his pride, so therefore Shalya then just gets up and walks off and leaves him there to drive the chariot himself. Yes. No, Arjuna chose second. Duryodhana chose first. Because you know he's the Supreme Lord, but it doesn't stop you from your material desires. Because the point is he may know he's the Supreme Lord, but knowing he's the Supreme Lord and really having that understanding is different. Because he was offensive to the devotees, how he'll actually understand the Lord. So all he understands about Krishna being the Supreme Lord is that he's powerful. That's all. And so therefore, it's something that you have to seriously consider in your political strategies. But other than that, then there was no real affection there, you know, at all. You know, he had affection for Balaram, but not for the Pandavas, and therefore, you know, it would be, you know, how you say, neutral towards Krishna. So neutralness will always turn into being inimical with time. Does that make sense? Yes.
Dinesh Prabhu once was telling me that when people got mutual relationship with Krishna, then they see Krishna as the greatest of the yogis, but then they also think I'm also a great yogi.
Okay. Yeah, you heard that? Yeah, so then you'll always get that as he's powerful, he's the strongest 10,000 elephants, so he's also strong. But they don't know, because Krishna doesn't just go around showing it off. Right? He doesn't boast. So that's why they can't really tell who he is. That was Shishupal's problem. Right? You know, it's like he's driving a chariot, so that's a Shudra. Right? He's out in Vrindavan tending cows. He's in, what do you call it? Dwarka, and that is a Kshatriya, and we see that he's giving advice and teaching and doing all these things as a Brahmin. So who is this guy? You know, it doesn't make sense. So that's the thing. Krishna doesn't really reveal himself. You know, how much is nice for the pastime, but other than that, he doesn't have to prove himself. Like Karna has to prove himself that I'm a Kshatriya. So therefore, always fighting and this and that to show his prowess. But Krishna doesn't have to do that. You know, so if it will enhance the pastime, he will. But if it doesn't, he doesn't bother. You don't believe he's God, don't accept he's God, it doesn't bother him. He doesn't lose any sleep over it, right? Like that, you know, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, that's all he does. Right? So he's doing fine. You know what I'm saying? But you see, Duryodhana, he loses sleep over it. But Krishna never does. Like that. Does that make sense?
You said that Duryodhana wasn't fool number one.
Duryodhana was fool number one.
Yeah. He was obvious. Shakuni always told him every second word of Shakuni was always, you fool, you fool.
Yeah. Okay, but he meant it, he was a fool, but he presented it as if he was just, because he's the uncle, he's just chastising to show him how he could better benefit. But actually, he was chastised. He was calling him a fool and then showing him better ways to destroy himself. Like that. Then the story of the swan and the crow recited in insulting allusion. Then the death of Pandya at the hands of the high-souled Ashwatthaman. Then the death of Dandasena. Then that of Dardha. Then Yudhishthira's imminent risk in single combat with Karna in the presence of all the warriors. Then the mutual wrath of Yudhishthira and Arjuna. Then Krishna's pacification of Arjuna. In this parva, because they get angry with each other, like that Yudhishthira says something, and he mentions something like, you know, well, you know, you're out there, what did you do? Why don't you just put down your bow, you know? And Arjuna had made a vow that anybody who told him that he would kill. So now his brother just said that. So then there was a problem. So then Krishna had to work that one out. So basically he says, by insulting someone, it's as good as killing him. So then Arjuna said all kinds of choice insulting things to Yudhishthira. And then afterwards then they apologized to each other and everything was over.
Yeah. No question. When God actually defeated Yudhishthira, didn't Duryodhana say what's going on?
He may have, but what could he do? Means, see, Duryodhana is such that, so you have something that it's very important to learn from this, is that you have someone who is in the position to manage things overall, and in that you're going to have possibly people, I mean you're going to have people that are more powerful than you, maybe in general or in a specific area. So technically it's by their volunteering that they work with you. So then it's very important for such persons to maintain that vision, to remember that actually he's more powerful, but he's willingly agreeing to come under my authority. So in this case, we see he may or may not do that, but he technically has to. Because Bhishma, Drona, Karna, they're all greater fighters, and Duryodhana is a good fighter, but all these others, each one of them is better than him. You know, his outstandingness, he is a good kshatriya, he's a, you know, Maharati, but his thing is strength with the clubs. But these others, their thing is with astras and weapons, you know. He's good with them, but it's that, and, you know, and like Bhishma, he's in his own class. Whoever is there, he's in another class, right? Like that, because he's from the heavenly planets. So he's just, it's just he's supposed to be here because it's a curse, therefore he is. But he doesn't belong here. Like that. So then, even though Duryodhana may complain, he can't complain too much, because without Karna, his whole point of actually going to battle is because he has Karna. If he didn't have Karna, he would never have dreamed of trying to fight with the Pandavas. Like that. Because he knows Arjuna can defeat him. You know? And if there was no Karna, no Shakuni, it's Duryodhana alone, and Bhishma and Drona would convince him otherwise. But with Karna there, that they're going to go ahead anyway, then by obligation, then Bhima and Drona come in the package. Does that make sense? Like that. Then Krishna's pacification of Arjuna. In this parva, Bhima, in fulfillment of his vow, having ripped open Dushasana's breast in battle, drank the blood of his heart. Then Arjuna slew the great Karna in single combat. Readers of the Bharata call this the eighth parva. The number of sections in this is 69, and the number of shlokas is 4,964. Then hath been recited the wonderful parva called Shalya. After all the great warriors had been slain, the king of Madra became the leader of the Kaurava army. The encounters one after another of charioteers have been here described. Then comes the fall of the great Shalya at the hands of Yudhishthira, the just. Here also is the death of Shakuni in battle at the hands of Sahadeva. Upon only a small remnant of the troops remaining alive after the immense slaughter, Duryodhana went to the lake, and creating for himself room within its waters, lay stretched there for some time. Then is narrated the receipt of this intelligence by Bhima from the fowlers. In other words, he heard information from the hunters that Duryodhana was hiding in the lake. Then is narrated how, moved by the insulting speeches of the intelligent Yudhishthira, Duryodhana, ever unable to bear affronts, came out of the waters. So this is another reason to be tolerant, right? Because he could have just stayed in the water and they would have went away and everyone went hearty bowl. But he got himself killed because he couldn't stand to be insulted, right? therefore the importance of tolerance. Because we see here, that's one of the things in the Mahabharata we see throughout, is if one is able to control one's senses and one's passions, things are go well for you. And if you can't, then there's not. If you look at in the history, because this is like everything that there is in history, everything that went wrong is all due to somebody not being able to control their senses or passions. Right? So attachment is the root of all difficulty. Does that make sense? So that's one of the things that is to be gained from this. Like that. That's why attachment must be engaged according to Shastra in the Lord's service. Because if it's not, it will always produce anxiety. Right? Does that make sense? Then comes the encounter with clubs between Duryodhana and Bhima. Then the arrival at the time of such encounter of Balaram, which is described, then is described the sacredness of the Saraswati. Then the progress of the encounter with clubs. Then the fracture of Duryodhana's thighs in battle by Bhima with a terrific hurl of his mace. These all have been described in the wonderful ninth parva. In this, the number of sections is 59. The number of shlokas composed by the great Vyas, the spreader of fame of the Kauravas, is 3,220. Then shall I describe the parva called Soptika, of frightful incidents. On the Pandavas having gone away, the mighty charioteers, Kritavarman, Kripa, and the son of Droma, came to the field of battle in the evening and saw their king Duryodhana lying on the ground, his thighs broken and himself covered with blood. Then the great charioteer, the son of Drona, of terrible wrath, vowed, without killing all the Panchalas, including Dhrishtadyumna and the Pandavas also, with all their allies, I will not take off armor. Having spoken those words, the three warriors, leaving Duryodhana's side, entered the great forest just as the sun was setting. While sitting under a large banyan tree in the night, they saw an owl killing numerous crows one after another. At the sight of this, Ashwatthaman, his heart full of rage at the thought of his father's fate, resolved to slay the slumbering Panchalas. And wending to the gate of the camp, he saw there a Rakshasa of frightful visage, his head reaching to the very heavens, guarding the entrance. And seeing that Rakshasa obstructing all his weapons, the son of Drona speedily pacified by worship the three-eyed Rudra. And then, accompanied by Kritavarna and Kripa, he slew all the sons of Draupadi, all the Panchalas with Dhrishtadyumna, and others together with their relatives, slumbering unsuspectingly in the night. All perished on that fatal night except the five Pandavas and the great warrior Satyaki. Those escaped owing to Krishna's counsels, right, that they sleep in the opposition's camp. Yes.
Satyaki is
part of the Yadu. He's the commander in chief of the Dwarka army.
So how did he get to be on the same side as the Pandavas? According to the deal, you know.
He said they said that they would get an Aukshahini of warriors. They didn't say they'd get the general. Right? The general is separate from the army. Like that. It could include, but it doesn't have to.
Yeah,
he went with them. But Satyaki was this.
What's super amazing is after the battle was over, Yudhisthira made Pipacharya his ministry.
The point is that in these, people are fighting out of duty. Just like Shalya, he's the relative. He's the uncle of the Pandavas. But Dudu is giving word to Duryodhana, therefore he fought for their side. So in these things, sometimes it's you actually believe in that, you know, like so many of the allies, I'm sure, with Duryodhana, didn't like the Pandavas. But you'd probably find many of them are just obliged because they're under the protection, they're vassals to Duryodhana, therefore they're fighting with him. Like that. So in the Kshatriya, that's why you see it comes up again and again, Kunti and Draupadi make this comment about just the life of the Kshatriyas. Because of these duties, then sometimes even here you're having to kill family members in battle and that, so it's great on one level, but on another level it has its weaknesses, you know. So everything's like that. It always has a strength on one side and a weakness on another. All right. I think you got a job there. Oops. Oh. Huh. Means Kripacharya is fighting for the Kauravas because he's their priest, so that just goes along with it. Not that he's interested in Duryodhana. Right? They're Brahmins, so they know what is right, so then they you'll see that throughout history it's the qualifications of the individual, not the particular circumstance which side you're on. Right? Just like we see is that even though Shukracharya, he's the one that advised Bali Maharaj not to give donation to this, you know, small, Brahmin that had come for charity, because he's going to take everything away from you. He's Vishnu. After all that's been done, then at the conclusion of the yajna, then Krishna's asking Shukracharya to describe what's the actual importance and what's the essence of all the, you know, the yajna and the Vedic literature. You understand? So that's why there is the person, then there's the position that they may have been in, and they're two different things. If you can separate that, you will be successful as an individual and as a manager. You understand? If you can't get this, then you'll always be caught up in politics. Right? Because if you can't separate these two, then it's a problem. Right? Because circumstances are there why someone has to do something. He has to maintain his family or this or that, so he's in this position. It's not that he doesn't like you, but that's where he has to be. You know? But just as he would be loyal to the Kauravas, he will be loyal to the Pandavas. Does that make sense? Because he's the family priest, so that's what he does. Okay? Then Draupadi, distressed at the death of her sons and brothers and father, sat before her lords, resolving to kill herself by fasting. Then Bhima, of terrible prowess, moved by the words of Draupadi, resolved to please her, as speedily taking up his mace, followed in wrath the son of his preceptor in arms. The son of Drona, from fear of Bhima, and impelled by the fates and moved also by anger, discharged a celestial weapon, saying, "This is for the destruction of all the Pandavas." Then Krishna saying, "This shall not be," neutralized Ashwatthama's speech. Then Arjuna neutralized the weapon by one of his own, seeing the wicked Ashwatthama's destructive intentions. So here, even the speech of a Brahmin, Krishna protect his devotees, then goes against. Krishna says whatever a Brahmin speaks will come true. But that's his word, so he'll even break his own word to protect his devotees. Right? So, means there's two things. The weapon was sent, so that was neutralized by Arjuna. But the purpose of it, that was neutralized by Krishna himself. Seeing the wicked Ashwatthama's destructive intentions, Dvaipayana and Krishna pronounced curses on him, which the latter returned. Then Pandava then deprived the mighty warrior in chariot, Ashwatthama, of the jewel on his head, and became exceedingly glad, and boastful of their success, made a present of it to the sorrowing Draupadi. Thus the 10th parva, called Soptika, is recited. The great Vyas hath composed this in 18 sections. The number of shlokas also composed in this by the great reciter of sacred truths is 870. And this parva has been put together by the great Rishi, the two Parvas called Soptaki and Aishika. Aha. Okay. After this hath been recited, the highly pathetic Parva called Stri, Dhritarashtra, a prophetic eye, afflicted at the death of his children, and moved by enmity toward Bhima, broke into pieces the statue of hard iron, deftly placed before him by Krishna as a substitute of Bhima. Duryodhana used to practice his club on this iron statue of Bhima. So he's got the strength of 10,000, you know, elephants. So you can imagine he wouldn't hit it lightly, you know, seeing that it's Bhima. You know, so now this was put in front of Dhritarashtra because he wanted to embrace Bhima. But Krishna, knowing that it would just touching Bhima would bring up his bad feelings, he put this there because it was Bhima. And even though it's a solid iron statue, can handle the club, you know, the beatings of the club of Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra smashed it into powder by his embrace. Yes.
Why is Dhritarashtra considered as one of the five strong men in the world?
He is. Dhritarashtra is one of the five. Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, Bhima, Jarasandha, and Kichika, the five. Yes.
How come Dhritarashtra didn't feel that it was a statue?
How come he couldn't tell it's a statue? How do you say? Wrath, anger makes one blind. Right? One should always remember that. When you become angry, you actually become less powerful. Okay. Oh, actually, we'll end here. Okay. Yeah, because we won't get through this. So we'll continue then tomorrow with the street, continuing with the Stri Parva, and then the last. Yeah, we're almost finished. We'll probably finish this section. Yeah, we'll finish this section tomorrow. All right. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai, Jai Jai.
At the end, Pandavas go to heaven and...
Pandavas go?
To the heavens, and the Yadu dynasty is destroyed. What happens to Subhadra?
I don't know. We'll see. It mentions here that I'm not sure.
No, because all the women in that was left back, so it's all the women in the Yadu dynasty. So then they were being taken by Arjuna, and then they all got taken away. That could have been anything that started the fight, but something started. But it was Gandhari, she cursed that his dynasty would go for another 28 years and be destroyed. Yeah, yeah. And Krishna didn't have to happen. Krishna accepted it because he was himself thinking, how am I going to get rid of all the Yadus? So then he thought, okay, great, here it is. You know, she already, you know, solved his problem.